recorded live from the unfinished loft project of Des's home just outside Brighton in Sussex, welcome to the £200,000 to £100,000 Challenge podcast. This is your no thrills, no BS, and absolutely no get rich quick or passive income promises hub. Hosted by your man, Des Hamilton.
Hello once again and a very warm welcome to every one of you out there in pursuit of that transformation and triumph. I'm Des Hamilton and you are listening to the £200,000 to £100,000 Challenge podcast, where we unfold the raw, real story of me turning that £200 I snaggled from the joint account into a life-changing £100,000. And not just that, I'm building this e-commerce empire, the ticket to the fabled financial freedom that me and my wife are looking to enjoy. Since we spoke last week, I've had some weird little existential moment. As we talked about last week, we're going to revamp the whole mentoring program and we're going to record it. Well, it's our mission to make it as slick and as professional as possible, so you know that when you're paying your money out, you're in a safe pair of hands. So to that end, we've gone all out to get the best sort of professional looking outfit you can find. So I've been using the Brighton University podcast recording studio. And I walked into this room and this tripod was set up with a £2,000 camera on there. These lights that were blasting out as if I was Beyonce, for God's sake. Radio mics underneath me t-shirt up and over and clipped on. It was one of those where if I stopped and just thought about what I was doing for a minute, I would have certainly got overwhelmed. And in my downtime, when I was taking things off the SD card and recording it and setting it up to edit, sending messages to my video editor, I did get nervous. And I don't think I talk about this enough, because I often talk about my imposter syndrome. And yes, that's a thing. But I'm willing to bet anybody that's been in my position the first time they went and did this, whether they sell a course, whether they do one-to-one coaching, live mentoring, whether they produce an ebook, the first thing that they create, there's this feeling in there of, what the hell are you doing? This is not you. What if no one likes this? What if people see through you? What if people go, you are just a 13-month Amazon seller who is chancing his luck running a podcast from his kitchen? Who the hell are you? And it's scary. And I get it all the time. I answer questions all the time on Facebook and TikTok and Instagram. Come follow me on Instagram, please. My numbers are low. YouTube even. I want to get started, but I'm scared. I want to get started, but I'm overwhelmed. And we went through this last week, didn't we? We talked about our fears. We talked about this feeling of being overwhelmed and the habits that you can put in place to compensate that. I want you to know I get that too, and I still do. And I'm willing to bet even the biggest entrepreneurs out there, when they're going out of their comfort zone and stepping out of their lane for whatever their lane may be, yeah, it's scary. It's overwhelming. You will stop and you will say, what the hell am I doing here? What if it all goes wrong? But you can't succumb to that. And I'm saying this from a place of understanding, because I felt it and I feel it every day. Especially, we're relaunching, we're revamping, we're putting incentives in place, we're putting discounts in place. We're going to launch a competition soon to get exclusive mentoring for 2 years from Steve and I. But this isn't my life. I want it to be, and I'm aiming for it to be, but it still isn't my life. I'm recording this at 7 o'clock in the evening on a Monday at the moment. I've got so much to do at work tomorrow in my day job. It's clouding my brain and I'm living two lives and it's freaking me out, and it will do and it has done and it's going to. But there's no question of me stopping, because I've got my habits in place, because I've written my goals down, because I've articulated what I'm going to do. Doesn't make it any less scary. I tell my kids all the time, being brave isn't just about doing the crazy thing. It's about feeling scared and doing it anyway. So if I can pat myself on the back and call myself brave, I'll take it. But I want you to know, and I'm going to share this more, no matter what field you're in, whether it's Amazon, whether it's content creation, whether it's affiliate marketing, digital products, all of the things that we do supply, I'm overwhelmed in nearly all of them. But you just got to get cracking. And there's going to be a theme here. because I'd like to talk about my guest, because I'm so excited about this episode. It's an episode that I've been trying to put together for months, and reasons that we'll explain can understand why it's taken so long to get this one off the ground. I have been looking for a long time. I wanted to start this podcast as an Amazon niche thing, because my community is mostly built on Amazon sellers, but I want everybody to know there, even in the Amazon world, there are digital streams of income waiting for you if you take action. And I'm desperate to bring on my guest, because she is a shining example of what can be achieved with mindset and drive. I am thrilled to introduce our guest today, because she has had a journey that resonates so closely with my own adventure. The only main difference is that she didn't take the Amazon FBA route. Today, I'm speaking with the lady behind the TikTok account at Start a Business With Me, who talks of AI, business, and automation. She is Helena DiBiase. It's been pretty much a full year since Helena embarked on her bold and ambitious journey, not unlike my £200,000 to £100,000 challenge. A year ago, Helena hit the record button on what was her first TikTok video, and she set out to discover if she could make £100,000 in 12 months. And she wanted to do it by diving into the myriad of online side hustles. Like many of us at the start of her journey, she had no clear roadmap, no predetermined business to launch, or a fixed strategy on how she was going to achieve this goal, other than taking action no matter what and staying consistent, taking in the opportunities that presented themselves to her. Fast forward 12 months later to today, and Helena's life has been transformed dramatically. Not only has she navigated this world of e-commerce while maintaining her own full-time job, but she's also grown a human. Her journey saw her testing various ventures, eventually finding her stride in digital products, focusing predominantly on that pot of gold at the end of the rainbow, the passive income stream. Helena's story, it's not just about the money, which is impressive, by the way. Her company currently boasts a profit of well over £67,000 so far. It's also about the things we constantly find ourselves talking about on here: the resilience, the adaptability, the persistence in the face of life's unpredictability. I mean, come on. She started this challenge about 2 months before her and her husband even found out they were pregnant. And she still made 67K. I mean, we kind of did the same here. I mean, my Claire and I, we found out about our baby number four about 6 weeks after starting our challenge. But yeah, look, hands up, I wasn't the one growing the baby, despite appearances. I mean, I definitely had the easier route. I'm not going to say anything otherwise. But all kidding aside, the parallels to Helena's and my journey are uncanny, from setting these targets, dealing with the ebbs and flows of businesses, to juggling personal commitments and family alongside what are our professional aspirations. And there's probably more, because just like me, Helena has grown an incredible TikTok following from scratch, having had no experience in community building, and she's amassed just shy of 70,000 followers in under a year. Because her commitment to consistent content creation and community engagement, all while balancing everything and spinning plates everywhere, it's nothing short of ridiculously inspiring. So as we get into our chat with Helena, let's explore the strategies, the learnings, the insights that she's gained from this year in her pursuit of her goals. So whether you're an aspiring entrepreneur, a side hustle enthusiast, if you will, whether you're thinking, maybe I won't go down Amazon, maybe I'll explore other routes, and you're curious about the power of digital products and passive income promises, this episode is going to be a banger for you. Let's get into the interview. I'll see you on the other side. We'll have a little chat about what we thought about this part of it, because we're going to run 2 weeks on this. And I'll throw in a tip of the week for good measure as well. Why not? It's Christmas. See you on the other side. Helena, welcome to the show. Really, really lovely to have you on here. Thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you so much for having me, Des. I'm so excited for this chat.
Oh no, the pressure's on. I want to highlight as well, are you still on maternity? Because I feel privileged.
I absolutely am on maternity leave. I've got a 9-week-old baby, and who my mum has taken out for a nice little walk whilst we record this podcast.
Right. Okay, no message. Talk us through your challenge, what it is you aimed to do this year, how it was you got there, and we'll go from there.
Okay. So I started out almost exactly a year ago to the day that we're recording this. We're recording on the 13th of December, and I started on the 11th of December. I was on TikTok. I was just scrolling through my feed, and I just kept seeing these, you know, everyone knows what I'm talking about when they say you see something and literally the hook starts with, here's a side hustle for the broke and lazy. Here's this business for someone that you can start out and then you can suddenly make £10,000 a month. And is that I'm a venture capital investor. So I live and breathe businesses. That is my job, to look at them, to look at what's good, to look at what's going to make money, to assess a market and to see whether or not we want to invest in it as professionals. And I've been a serial entrepreneur my entire career. So I've been doing this for 17 years now. And something just really got to me on that Sunday evening. And I was like, I want to see if this actually works, because I have never run this kind of like online digital business before. I've had a consultancy business. I've had an e-commerce business. I've had a cleaning business whilst I was at university. I've sold lots of stuff on eBay previously. I've had lots of different things. My husband's got a broadband company. And obviously as an investor, I see the inside of thousands of businesses a year, because that's what I am paid to do, is to look at them. And I saw this and I just thought, I want to know if this is true. Like, I just want to know if this works. Like, are these people absolutely mad, or are people actually onto something here? And regular everyday people are making genuinely really good money online. And I want to see, so let's see if I can replicate it myself. More than anything was for a bit of a social experiment. And I think what really intrigued me about testing out to see if I could make money online was also this content creation side of things, because I have never ever done that before. I've never been consistent with building up a community and an audience. So I thought, well, why don't I set myself a challenge? I'll see if I can make £100,000 in 12 months, all in additional income streams, whether that's starting a whole new business from scratch, or I have various different streams of income, and I'll test out everything that you see standard on your feed, and I'll just document it all here. So I sat down, I recorded my first TikTok video, and I just hit post. And within a couple of days, I'd reached a decent, I think 3,000 or 4,000 followers. And I was like, oh my God, right, okay.
Wow.
There's actually quite a lot of people watching this now. I'm probably going to have to do something about it. So on day two, I was like, well, I don't want to use any of the resource that I have available to me from my other company. So I'm not going to use any of that. I'm not going to invest anything in it. I am not going to replicate and do something that I've done before, because then it's not any kind of genuine experiment. I've been doing this for 17 years. If I set out to do a tech company, I would do it completely differently to what I've done in the last 12 months. So I started selling things on eBay. I was like, right, I know I need to make some initial money. And then I'm just going to start testing things out and documenting it. And it has evolved and snowballed over the last 12 months. And honestly, when I started out, I was so proud. I was like, there's no way this works, that I'm actually going to be able to do this, even with my background knowledge, which there's nothing I can do about the fact that I know some stuff about running a business. There's no way that you can make this kind of money on the internet, because if you could, everyone would be doing it. So the fact that now, 12 months later, I started tracking my income properly in January 2023 because I wanted to do it on a calendar year. But really, technically, 11th of December, I'm 12 months in. And top line revenue, I've made £71,850.99 is where I'm sitting at right at this second.
Unbelievable.
And of that, I think the profit is like £67,000. I'm like, that is mad. Like, I did not think that this would work. And it has. I might not have made that initial 100 grand that I set out to, but 71 grand alongside
my full-time
job.
That's not bad, is it?
It's pretty good. So yeah, that's an overarching view of how I started out on the challenge and where I'm sitting at right now. And yeah, I've documented it all on TikTok.
Which, by the way, we're at what, 70,000? Just shy of 70,000?
Just short of 70,000 followers, which is another thing that I think is probably the most surprising. I'm sure you probably share this feeling in your journey of what you've been doing. I'm actually slightly more impressed with the audience that I've built than the money that I've made, because I have never ever stayed consistent in content creation. And it is something that I have tried to do previously, and I have just never been able to stick with it. But I think because I had such a clear purpose and goal, and a lot of people watching me, I was like, well, I better keep going, because otherwise people start messaging you being like, where are you at? What are you doing? So, yeah.
But I think one of the driving things that attracts people to you is you're so clearly authentic. You're so clearly seeped in reality, where you haven't made this much over this much because you clicked a couple of buttons and sold something on Etsy. You have employed this work ethic from the very start. So it's not a broken, lazy thing, is it? You've worked really hard.
Yeah. Yeah, I have. Yeah. And I think that is, you know, that is one of the advantages that I have, is I have worked since I was 13. And we were talking about this just before you started hitting record. I don't really know how to do anything else. Like, working is just part of my personality. And that's because I'm from a very privileged background, in the sense that I am white and I was born in the West.
Yeah.
Which, let's all acknowledge the fact that we are extremely lucky to be born in that position. And then I was born with parents that, you know, loved and supported me, but they didn't have any money. And when I was 13, I started to want to have things that typical 13-year-old girls want, like GHD hair straighteners and whatever Boyzone album was out at the time. And my mum was like, great, welcome. You've got you can legally work now. Off you go. And I got my first job washing dishes, and I have worked ever since. And I've always made my own money. And I very quickly worked out, when I was about 16, I was being paid £5 an hour to hand out leaflets as a club promoter, which, you know, that's a separate story. It's like, why were they employing 16-year-olds to hand out leaflets for £5 an hour? But anyway, or I could sell stuff on eBay. So I started buying things on the high street. And this was before our main high street stores like H&M and Topshop sold internationally. They didn't have their own e-commerce websites, but we had eBay. So I would buy as much stuff as I possibly could from H&M and Topshop with the money that I made from my £5 handing out leaflets. And then I would sell it for double or triple on eBay to people in the US and China. Wow. And that is how I started making money for myself when I was really, really young. And I had some really good breaks that meant that I could save up a decent amount of money, and I went to university, and I just always kept running businesses. Sometimes when I talk to my friends, they're like, what happens inside your brain? Like, I'm not really sure, because I've just kind of programmed it in this way to look for businesses absolutely everywhere. That's because that's all I've ever done.
That's fascinating, isn't it? Because I remember growing up in that time, and all of these shops started falling by the wayside because they hadn't employed any e-commerce strategy. I never once thought to flip it and then think, how could I take advantage of that? So you're right. You're wired that way. How you did that. That's amazing. Because I was fully aware of what was going on in sort of society, but never enough to think, how could I make money off the back of that? But I think that's one of my problems. I've always used my brain to think of shortcuts and how I could coast an easy life. I've never thought, how could I use my brain to actually work harder? I've done the other way. It's taken me 40 years to switch this side of my weight, my brain.
But then once you start, you can't stop, right?
And
you start seeing opportunities. And I think a lot of it comes from, honestly, for me, when I was out, it was from necessity, because if I wanted something, there was no way I was getting it unless I could pay for it myself. I've never, even though, you know, I've got a job and an income now, and I didn't have to start this challenge. I didn't need to do it. Some people do. Some people very much do need to have something on the side to make additional income and look at things in a different way. That's something that you inherently look at over time. And I think sometimes it can feel like a bit of a taboo, people starting out and thinking, you know what, I don't want to do something because I don't want to acknowledge the fact that I want to do something for money, or I want to have more than I have right now, because you've got this other side of your brain that's like, I'm so privileged. I'm so lucky. I'm so lucky to have what I have. I'm so lucky for us to live in the UK. Extremely privileged to be where we are.
Yeah.
So you've got that part of your brain talking to you. And then you've got the other part that's like, yeah, but I can't. I'm really struggling to get by on what I've got, and I need to make more for myself, and I need to have this kind of financial independence, which I think is very timely for most people cannot have one form of income anymore because it's just the Wild West. It is so the general economic environment is so incredibly unstable.
Yeah.
That even for someone like myself with multiple businesses and streams of income, for me, I'm like, great, let's add another pillar to that because one of them could fall down tomorrow.
Exactly right. Exactly right. And there is this drive in you. But yeah, from our point of view, when I say our, me and my wife, the necessity was kind of driven into us because of this cost of living, because of the state of the economy. Switch was just flicked. And you go, right, okay, let's get to work. Because exactly like you said, there are people making money on the internet and you want a piece of that, don't you? Even a few years ago, I was looking at what Mr. Beast was making or Logan Paul was making, and they were just at that point YouTubers. And you're thinking, I can talk in front of a camera. I'm all right with that. I'm sure I don't want millions, but I'll take a couple of hundred grand. That would be nice.
Yeah.
And I'm the same as you. I tried a couple of times on Instagram with things like weight loss is always an easy thing or something that I could incorporate into a daily routine. When I started on TikTok, I did it under a fake name. So that's why I'm Goodbye Poor Hello Rich. I didn't actually put theirs on there for months. And none of my friends and family were ever on TikTok because that's a young person's game, let's be honest.
Yeah.
And I thought, right, let's do it that way. So when it blew up, that's when I thought, you know what, I better put my real name on it because loads of people thought my name was Rich for ages. They were calling me Richard.
I mean, to be honest, that's why I started on TikTok as well. Most people I know have got absolutely no clue what I am doing. Like, they've got no clue that it's that I create content on TikTok, that anything, any of it exists because most people are on the platform. So people, I'm a bit worried about what my friends and family will say. Best place to start then is doing something on TikTok because
none of them are on there.
Nobody is on it. It's still so young as a platform. So you can do loads on there and nobody has to know.
You'd be amazed how many people say, oh, Des, have you got a Discord? What's a Discord? I had to look that up. It's ridiculous. Yeah. Brilliant. So when you first started getting going and you knew that eBay was going to work for you because you've got experience in that, when did you decide, right, you know what, I'm going to ramp up, I'm going to try method X or method Y? What sort of led you that path?
So I started out, so day two, I was like, right, go through my house, find some stuff I can sell on eBay because I knew I'm going to have to, if I'm going to test some stuff, I'm going to have to spend some money, right? And you can never get around that fact. If you want to make any money, I knew I was going to have to spend some.
Yeah.
And I kind of had a list of things that I was interested in that I was seeing really regularly that I thought, I'm going to test that out. And I knew eBay was the easiest way for me to make a few hundred quid that I could then pay for some other stuff to start testing things out. So I think one of the first things I tested out was print on demand. For anyone who doesn't know, basically where you build your own website or you use a platform like Etsy that's already got traffic associated with it, you design some products, which you can do on Canva or, you can do it yourself. And then you get a platform to plug into your Etsy site or your Shopify site, and they handle the manufacturing. And despite the fact that in my professional investor opinion, product-based businesses are really, really difficult. I would never invest. I say never, never say never. It's very difficult to invest in a product-based business. If you are looking to exit for hundreds of millions of pounds, that is really hard. But as a concept of a business, I love a product business, consumer-led, things that we buy in everyday life. So when I started out, that was what I wanted to work. I wanted physical products to work for me, to design some physical products and to be able to sell them and to build up some kind of creative brand. Because what I do on a day-to-day basis is I look at a lot of tech, I look at a lot of legislation, and I invest in, hopefully, touch wood, good businesses, but a lot of boring businesses, synthetic fuels, for example. And I was like, it would be so nice to have a creative side hustle where I'm selling home prints or things for kids or just something that's just nice to have, right?
Yeah.
And I wanted to indulge that side of myself. So that was what I started out trying to build. And I made some initial money so that I could try and fund some production or some software, because I, even to the point where if I was starting with £0, I wanted to pay for E-Rank, which is a website where you can do SEO on search terms and that kind of thing. I knew I'd need to set up an email address, all the little bits that come with having a business and a side hustle and a business are slightly different, but also same thing. You need to spend some money on the software and everything. I was like, I am not using anything from work for this. So I've got a separate Zoom account. I've got a separate Slack account. I've got separate Zapier, separate email, everything. And I knew I needed to pay for that. So started out on eBay, made some money. Then I think one of the first things I properly tested out was physical products and print on demand.
Yeah.
And the problem with print on demand for me, and not everyone has this problem, and I always say that as a disclaimer when people are, what should I do? What should I test? And I'm like, you know what? Do something that works for you and your lifestyle.
Yeah.
As long as you understand the mechanics of how this is all going to work. For me, what didn't work about print on demand was the cash flow. And some people have worked this out, but I haven't. And I moved on to something else that made me a lot more money a lot faster. So I binned it off, which is basically someone orders from your website. You would then have to pay the manufacturing fee before the money is released from Etsy for the product itself, which is fine once you've built up a big enough buffer of cash to fund your production, but not okay if you're starting from absolutely £0 and you've got maybe 200 quid to invest in something. It's not enough to make a physical product business fly.
No, I agree.
So stop that one. And then I think the next one I tested was physical product, but me doing the manufacturing. And that was the one that I was like, no, this is just not going to work. It's not going to work from a money perspective, and it's not going to work from a time perspective, because as you've kind of already talked about, I have a full-time job. And I'm at the time, I think this was in March, I started really looking at physical product design. I was a few weeks pregnant at that point, and I was feeling so sick. And I was like,
oh, wow.
I can't do this. If this is going to work, I need something with way, way more leverage than physical products is going to give me.
Yeah, no, I can understand that. I was the same. When you start in a challenge like this, you need fairly quick gratification, don't you? Whether something's going to work or something, which way it's not. And an awful lot of these models, they rely on an element of a leap of faith for 3-4 months before anything starts producing itself. And you could end up spending more money than you bring in. I couldn't afford to do that. I literally had my 200 quid. So it was a case of, print on demand. I did try that. I also tried a Kindle Direct Publishing.
Oh, yeah. I didn't try that because I just thought this feels like another one that's just too difficult to get to acquire the customers and get the traffic.
That's it. So even the KDP and the POD, you need a following, didn't you? You needed a following. You needed some way to market for free.
Yeah.
Rather than spending money on ads.
Yeah, exactly. Which is why when you set out and do these things, you have to think about the mechanisms for how this is all going to work, because you could absolutely love your product business, but if you can't acquire customers and you can't acquire them quickly and profitably with no investment, if you're doing something like this, it doesn't really matter. Like,
no,
you could have, you've just wasted all of your money doing something. So you've got to create something that there's already existing demand for, which is kind of what you do with Amazon, right? You're not making the product yourself, being like, oh, I need to convince people to buy this stuff. You're selling things that people are already looking for. So
exactly,
you need to, you know, the customers are there, which is one of the benefits of the business model that you've gone for and the route you've gone. But I mean, Des, I remember some of your early videos, and I don't know if you still do this now, you were going through Lidl and Aldi being like, this is brilliant. I can sell this on Amazon for a lift, right? For a profit. So
yeah,
it's really hard work to do something.
It is. Like and that. I still do it. Like, even if I'm just nipping down to Lidl for some nappies or something like that, I'll scan something like 20 or 30 things. I've stopped filming it now because there's so many people filming in Lidl's these days. I don't want to be one of those guys anymore. I need to separate myself a little bit. But I've got to say, they all drive good traffic, so maybe I should film a few more of those. But that's a different thing. So you settled on AI, didn't you? You went heavy down the AI route, which is amazing, by the way. I bought your book. It's amazing, by the way. Anyone listening, go and buy Helena's book on AI.
Okay, so I was like, right, where am I going to create leverage here? Because at this point, you know, March, April time, I was like, I'm making okay money, but I was making money through, I'd sold some stuff on eBay, and you can go through all of my videos and see where I was making this money. I was doing a bit of UGC content creation.
tell us more about UGC.
So UGC is user-generated content. So that's where brands will pay you to create videos of yourself doing something, you know, filming about their products or about their business that they can post on their channels. So you don't need to have an audience for it to work. And to be honest, that's another one of the things that I'm like, this is, you know, you can make a decent income from this. And some people do. And that's all they do full time, because from a brand's perspective, content creation and production is very difficult to do in-house. It's very difficult to remain consistent in. And traditional methods, i.e. booking out a studio and some models, et cetera, is very expensive. So user-generated content is a way for a brand to create very organic looking content that they can put out on their own social media channels, and they can pay proportionately much less to have produced by creators. And anyone can do it. The layperson can do it, as long as you learn how to talk to a camera, because you don't need to have your own audience. They're paying you to use it on their channel. So I got approached by, and again, I was very fortunate because I had that TikTok following. And sometimes people ask me, could you have done this without TikTok? No, I wish I could have, but no, I wouldn't have made the money that I have made without having a social media platform. That meant that brands approached me and I have done content for brands, user-generated content for brands that initially approached me for an ad. And I said, no, it's not the right fit. I don't have time or whatever, but I can do some UGC content for you and I'll charge you this. And that's how I made some money. So that's where I was at in kind of March, April time. I thought, right, I'm pregnant. I need serious leverage, because I was originally, when I started out, I was like, I'm going to do this side hustle for an hour a day. Right. And by the time I got to March, April time, I was like, I am physically really, really feeling this pregnancy. Anyone who has been pregnant or witnessed close proximity someone being pregnant will know that you can have a really rough ride. And I was very fortunate that my first pregnancy was an absolute walk in the park compared to my second, where I was extremely unwell. So I was like, okay, I'm not giving up on this. I still really, really want to do it. What is going to create me the most income for the least amount of time, and what do I know about this? And again, another advantage of my day job and being involved in lots of different businesses is that even just in the last 12 months, the rapid improvements in automation and AI are so, so significant that they really are. Me looking at the world and the economy as an investor, I'm like, I am putting money into this like there's no tomorrow, because this is it. I know enough about the businesses that are behind and investing in, you know, significant AI tools and what they're capable of, that this is going nowhere. And therefore, there is an opportunity here for everyday people to significantly take advantage of it. Because I always say, where we're at now with AI is a bit like the start of when people were like, oh, there's this internet thing with websites, right? The same thing is happening now.
I heard you refer to it as Internet 2.0. That's the best description I've heard of AI. You're dead right.
Yeah, it is. And anyone that thinks that that's not what's happening is kind of like this with their head in the sand, because that is absolutely the reality. The biggest and most influential companies and people in the world are stacking their cash into this. And when things like that happen, you have to pay attention to it, because they're not doing it for the good of their health. They're doing it to make more money. So I always look at things like that and see how the economy is moving. And I was like, well, I actually know a lot of stuff about this because of how I look at the world and because I'm involved in different businesses. And I think there's a real significant opportunity for people to really move the needle with business growth, with their personal growth, by investing in their knowledge in these areas. And it's probably the question that I get asked the most, like, how do I make more money? How do I move the needle? What can I do? And in all honesty, it is not a fancy marketing strategy. It is not any of these other kind of fad things that you see. It is learn how to automate things, learn how to use AI. That will make the biggest difference, because that will give you more time. And that is your best resource, right? That's what's moving the needle for you. That's what's going to make you more profitable. That's what's going to help you to do. So learning how to use those tools is the single biggest thing that you can do to increase the profitability of your business or your capability to make more income. And that is right across the board. Doesn't matter what kind of business that you're in.
Yeah.
So I settled on that, and it was my husband was like, you do this all the time. Like, you know what I like. Automating stuff is our life is on automation. Like, I don't think about anything. It just arrives in some kind of automated fashion. He's like, people pay a lot of money to know what you did, because most people don't know how to do that. You think they do because you're so used to it. But most people don't know how to do this. So I started selling passive income, which I'm sure we'll talk about. Like, what does passive income actually mean? And we all know that there's nothing really truly passive, because you've actually got to do something in the first place. But
yeah,
digital products, I was like, there's something here with this, because I can create it, I can download all of my knowledge, and then I can sell it to people.
Yeah.
And I think because I found I was selling something I'm selling something I know a lot about. I'm selling something that a lot of people want to know about, and there's a demand for it. And I've managed to build an audience that now I've got something working in a funnel on rinse and repeat that has enabled me to make really significant amounts of cash for now not doing anything.
Absolutely. And it is. It's an ever increasing circle, isn't it? Because you've got, this is how I'm making money. I'm making money doing this. I'm using AI to make money. Oh, and by the way, here's my book on how I used AI to make money. And it goes round. It's perfect. It's perfect. It came right just at the right time as well, right?
Yeah, it has. It has. I've really hit a market at a good time.
All right. That's as good a time as any to hit pause. Ready for next week. Next week, we're going to cover much more about what it is that Helena talks about in terms of her AI expertise and how automation is shaping not just her business, but also her personal life, freeing up that time commodity to allow her to go forward and make more money. It was fascinating talking to Helena, and we spoke for about an hour and 20 minutes, and it flew by. And we've definitely got enough content where we can bring her back on and probably do another couple of weeks. We didn't even talk about the awesome journey that her and her husband have been on as entrepreneurs up in Glasgow, when they realized the internet broadband wasn't as good as it should be. So they went ahead and developed their own broadband service. Right? That's incredible, isn't it? Looking back on this part of the interview, a couple of takeaways that stand out for me are all based upon the landscape of what modern entrepreneurship is turning into in the face of the digital age. And we are really early in the digital age. It feels like we've been in it forever, and it feels like the best things have passed us by, but that's simply not true. When we talk about artificial intelligence, we're at the tip of the iceberg. And if you get involved now and you learn about it now, only good things can happen. So before we get into next week's and we start talking about it in real depth, let's reflect on what we've already picked up on. Number one, the power of being adaptable when you're stepping foot on your journey. Because Helena's journey and my journey, they're very similar in this. And I'm hoping it's enough to strike you enough that you can implement it when you plug into yourself enough. Because what she did is that she emphasized this need not just to stick to one method. Even though she really wanted to do it, she really wanted to focus on those physical products, but she kept her periphery open, and she kept open to testing different strategies to figure out which one would suit her best, using the knowledge and the inherent background that she's already developed. What she did was that she pivoted and adapted and made more money than she thought she was going to, given that she was growing a baby at the same time. The other thing that struck me about this was this notion of embracing automation. It is a standout part, and it is enough for me to go away after I record this and revisit the book that I bought from her, in which we can talk about putting steps in place to automate as much as you possibly can. Because leveraging these technologies, they save you time, they boost profitability, like we talked about. So with that in mind, let's get to the tip of the week.
Tip of the week.
Most of you are following me because I set foot on an Amazon journey that resonated with an awful lot of you. However, don't be close-minded to think that Amazon is the only side hustle you can try. I think it's fantastic, but I do say that because it suits me. It suits my lifestyle. I enjoy it. I do get gratification from it. I know, however, having learnt enough about it, wholesale in the traditional sense isn't something that I'm going to be spending an awful lot of my time in. I am going to open up an avenue and I am going to explore it and I am going to put things in place to automate it as much as possible. I think there are enough avenue streams in other methods that I could enjoy more that I would inspire to do well in better. Why not take that on yourself? Why not think, you know what, I'm not going to do what everyone else wants to do. I'm going to do what I'm going to do that suits my narrative, that suits my background, my culture, my age, my experience, and put steps in place that way. Don't be so narrow-minded into thinking Amazon is the only thing, because what I'm going to do in the next few weeks in this podcast is open up to people that aren't Amazon sellers to show you what is achievable in other realms.
Tip of the week.
That will do it. I'm really proud of this episode, and I say that before I edit it, so it could all come crashing down around my ears. Next week, we're going to delve right into the second half of the Helena interview, where we start talking about the importance of a work ethic and taking advantage of opportunities, selling knowledge, and we talk about implementing these things that make us more efficient in life and business, and the biggie. We talk about this notion of passive income. Helena sells digital products, which is the most passively income-y aspect of many side hustles that you can develop. But it's still not passive in the same sense that people will have you believe. So we talk about that in depth as well. We also cover the challenges that Helena's experienced in her development over the last 12 months. That will do it, everybody. Thank you so much for your time. Thanks for tuning in. I hope it's everything you enjoy it to be. Please keep on spreading the word. If you are enjoying the show, give me a rating or a review. Let other communities know, not just Amazon selling communities, because we're trying to be the podcast for new and experienced entrepreneurs in multiple disciplines. So come on, get listening, get spreading the word, get involved. Let's bring in the music. Let's bring in Robin. Have yourselves a lovely week as we get close to Christmas. I'll see you next week. All the best.
Be sure to join us next time for another dose of inspiration and insights into e-commerce and entrepreneurship. And who knows, by then, Des may well have finished that love project. And always remember, it's time to say goodbye poor, hello rich. This podcast is for educational and informational purposes only and should not be considered as financial advice. We know times are tough right now. And if you are struggling financially, please seek help from an appropriate organisation. We've included a link to the Citizens Advice Bureau in the show notes. Remember, you should always consult with a qualified professional before making any significant financial decisions.